Good afternoon. From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumery. It's spring. That means black bears are emerging from hibernation and roaming around Juneau in search of food. They're opportunistic foragers, so they'll go for trash, pet food, and bird feeders if given the chance. Roy Churchwell at the Alaska Department of Fish and Game says that residents should avoid leaving these things out.
Trash is the biggest attractant that causes folks to have problems with bears.
He encourages people to follow the city ordinance to put garbage out for pickup no earlier than 4 a.m. on trash day, and to otherwise keep bins in bear-resistant enclosures. The state euthanized a couple of bears last year after they were aggressive around trash bins downtown and entered a jewelry store on South Franklin Street. Normally this time of year, Churchwell says bears should be eating grass and sedge in open areas and the skunk cabbage that's erupting from forest marshes. Later on, as salmon return upstream and berries grow plump, bears will frequent streams and shrublands. Churchwell says that hikers and others recreating outside should carry bear spray and keep dogs leashed. Another way to stay safe on trails is to call out, "Hey, bear," every few minutes so they know to steer clear. And he has a message for tourists visiting Juneau, where it's normal to see bears sauntering downtown.
I know everyone wants to get their photo opportunity with a bear, but it's better just to stand back and let the bear do what it's going to do.
If you encounter a black bear, Churchwell says the most important thing is to stand your ground and don't run. Instead, he says to stay calm and talk to the bear. The Alaska Senate passed a bill today that would substantially boost long-term funding for public schools. The bipartisan vote sets up a final up or down House vote that would send the bill to Governor Mike Dunleavy. The bill includes a $700 boost to basic school funding and a number of education policy changes. Lawmakers say it's an attempt to find common ground with Republican minorities. It comes about a week after lawmakers failed to override Dunleavy's veto of a large funding boost that passed with bare majorities in the House and Senate. The new bill passed the Senate with broad support on a 19-to-1 vote this morning. Senator Lukey Tobin, an Anchorage Democrat, says she's hoping the new bill can withstand a possible veto from Dunleavy.
I am working with my colleagues here in the Senate and also in the House to ensure that we have a veto-proof majority supporting this legislation.
Dunleavy has not said whether he'll sign the new bill. On Friday, he called for changes, and senators incorporated some, but not all, of his priorities. The bill would limit student cell phone use, make it easier to create new charter schools, and provide school districts incentive funding based on student reading performance. Those are all items Dunleavy has requested. But some of the governor's proposals were left out. Lawmakers would study, but not necessarily implement, a statewide open enrollment system. And correspondence homeschool would not see an additional funding boost on top of the overall increase. Senate Minority Leader Mike Schauer, a Wasilla Republican, said he voted for the bill despite some reservations.
We believe that we have struck the most reasonable compromise we're going to find this year to get something through that's going to work.
He says he's especially uneasy about one element of the bill. When senators included the reading incentives, they made the program contingent on passing a bill that would tax out-of-state companies that do business in Alaska over the internet. That bill has passed the Senate, but is yet to come up in the House. Several minority Republican senators said they would vote to override a possible veto from Dunleavy. As of this afternoon, the governor had yet to comment on the final bill. A final House bill was scheduled for Monday, but the House sent the bill back to the Senate after discovering an error in the bill's language. A final vote is now expected on Wednesday. And Juneau's firefighter union sent out a statement Thursday, warning residents that emergency response times may be delayed due to major staffing concerns. Logan Ballstead is the local Juneau Career Firefighters Union president. He says this is the most understaffed Capital City Fire Rescue has been in his more than a decade with the department.
We're expecting that there will be more calls where you have to wait for a piece of apparatus to respond to your emergency because it's tied up doing something else.
This warning comes as the union negotiates wages with the city and borough of Juneau. Some positions start at $20 an hour, which is lower than the pay for most similar positions in the Pacific Northwest. KTOO received all wage information earlier this year before negotiations started. For years, Juneau firefighters have been working many overtime hours, often mandatory overtime, to accommodate demand. That's on top of 56-hour work weeks. And earlier this year, union members say the lack of competitive pay means firefighters leave, and the department struggles to hire new ones. Currently, the department says there are 6 vacancies, 2 injured responders, and 1 staff member on military leave.
And so when we work overtime, we're working 48-hour shifts. And when you start doing that repeatedly, doing 48 hours on, 24 hours off, 48 hours on, that can be really hard on the responders and their families. It's detrimental in the long run.
And Ballstead says the emergency call volume always surges in the summer. Juneau has three ambulances, but the department only has enough staff to operate two. If the department was staffed to ideal levels, they would be able to operate all three during the summer cruise rush. He says delays mean that medical emergencies lose precious time.
If we have a cardiac arrest, every minute you go without CPR, your chances of return to circulation, of living through this experience, diminishes about 10%. And let's see, I think we're about 9 minutes on average for our CPR response time. So we're really hoping that members of the public are out there doing good CPR.
Ballstead says it helps if residents know CPR and how to identify the signs of a stroke or a heart attack when ambulances are delayed. In 2024, the department responded to 18 structure fires, but none of their responses had enough staff to meet the National Fire Protection Association's standard for minimum number of staff responding. And the Juneau School District and its largest union are more than 2 months into contract negotiations. The union that represents teachers is pushing for better pay and benefits in their next 2-year contract, as the district grapples with uncertain state funding. KTOO's Jamie Deep has more.
A crowd of teachers filled the Thunder Mountain Middle School library earlier this month. Dressed in Juneau Education Association t-shirts and vests, they voiced their misgivings to the school board about contract negotiations. Deborah Rakos has taught at the district for 25 years. She says the district's proposed pay scale is divisive and favors certain levels of experience.
I am looking at bringing home less money next year. In the meantime, the cost of living in Juneau continues to rise, and we all need to be able to pay our bills.
Johnson Youth Center teacher Jeanette Gagnon says she's now finding it difficult to recommend prospective teachers work for the district.
If negotiations continue to drag out this time and again next time, my faith in the district is getting shattered.
Electra Gardiner sat in front of board members with a 2-month-old baby on her hip. She and her husband are both teachers raising 3 children. She says the low pay and high cost of living in Juneau means her husband needs to work a second job to make ends meet.
3 nights a week, he works 13-hour days so that we can do extravagant things like pay for our health insurance.
They're pushing the district for better pay and benefits against a backdrop of uncertain state funding. For the new contract that would start in July, the initial proposals from the union and district have some major differences when it comes to salaries and health insurance contributions. The district is budgeted for a 2.5% increase to salaries for the first year of the contract. The proposal also includes a 1.5% increase in the second year, in addition to a 1% retirement plan match. The union is asking for 10% each year. The district is also flat funding health insurance contributions for the next 2 years. Right now, educators have a few options for health insurance plans, including an employer-compensated option that's free. Superintendent Frank Hauser wrote in an email that state funding controls how much the district can offer in salaries and benefits. He said the district estimates JEA's proposal will cost $30 million over 2 years versus the district's $2.2 million proposal. Hauser declined to discuss the terms of contracts outside of the bargaining process, citing negotiation rules signed by both parties. Now the negotiations have passed the 2-month mark. JEA President Chris Heidemann said in an interview with KTOO they haven't made progress with the district. He says the district refuses to negotiate individual financial elements within the contract proposals.
We're ready to bargain. They're just not working with us.
Heidemann says if negotiations don't progress, he fears teachers may go into the next school year without raises.
There's a lot of pessimism about that, and I think there's just a lack of trust between teachers and the district administration right now.
Contract negotiations depend on how much money the district has. Its budget for next year relies on a $400 increase in funding per student. But that's not guaranteed after Governor Mike Dunleavy's education funding veto earlier this month. While there are several bills that would increase district funding, Heidemann is concerned that another year without additional state money could lead to another year of staffing cuts the district can't handle.
We're down to the point now where if we keep having to cut, we're just not going to be able to keep the building safe. We are at the bare minimum personnel to keep kids in the buildings going to school.
The district is also in negotiations with unions for support staff and administrators. In Juneau, I'm Jamie Deep.
And the U.S. Interior Department says it's going to fast-track permits for oil, gas, and mining, cutting a process that normally takes years down to no more than 28 days. Interior Secretary Doug Burgum announced the new plan this week, saying the country can't afford to wait. He cited a national energy emergency President Trump signed in January. Speeding up the permitting process is a long-sought goal of Alaska's congressional delegation. But federal environmental laws create project timelines that are hard to rush. The conservation laws also give project opponents grounds to sue. When they win, the government often has to restart the project timeline. The environmental law firm Earth Justice says the Trump administration is trying to invoke a fake emergency to strip away legal safeguards. Earth Justice President Abigail Dillon says it's a blatantly illegal move and we will see them in court. And Alaska residents have less than a week to apply to get on a rental assistance program waitlist with the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. AHFC spokesperson Nancy Barnes says residents who meet the income requirements for the Housing Choice Voucher Program would receive assistance paying rent over 5 years. Funding for the program comes from the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development. The application period to get on the Housing Choice Voucher waitlist closes on Wednesday, April 30th at 1 p.m. You can apply at ahfc.us. After the deadline closes on April 30th, Barnes says the names on the waitlist will be randomized, and officials will start going through to set up assistance. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's 44 degrees and raining this afternoon. And it looks like we have rain on the forecast for the rest of the week as well, with temperatures between 40 and the mid-40s. Tomorrow morning is a super low tide of negative 5 feet, roughly, at just before 9 a.m. You're listening to KTOO. For more stories, go to ktoo.org. Thanks for tuning in.